SBS Radio.
You're listening to NITV Radio. I'm Bertrand Tungandame. I'm in conversation with adjunct professor Wayne Quilliam, a photographic artist, art curator and photojournalist. We are talking today about his new book, Culture is Life, released in the sidelines of Australia Day 2021. The book, Culture is Life, is described as a modern photographic celebration of the diversity of Indigenous Australians, a collection of pictorial stories adding to the conversation about the meaning of Australia Day. We begin our conversation analysing how the book came about, the result of more than three decades in Wayne Quilliam's photographic career.
Yeah, putting this book together, it's been a 30-year overnight success type of book. You know, I've been working in all of our communities from the late 80s, whether it's been NAIDOC events or whether it's been traditional ceremonies or whether we've had big gatherings. When I was approached to put together a book, I think people were expecting a traditional book of a lot of our people out remote communities doing more traditional practice, because a lot of books in the past have been based around that type of work. Whereas this book, when I put it together, is I wanted to have the equal representation of people from Tasmania to the Torres Strait, from the Central Desert to the Kimberley. And not just ceremonial type of photos, more the in-depth of who we are and what we do, everyday life. Give not only Australia, but the world a unique opportunity to experience who we are. Out of our 6 or 7 million photos, it was quite difficult to bring it down to about 400 to 500.
Yeah, definitely. You're a very prolific photographer, and I've seen some really very, very beautiful ones, actually portraying the people the most accurate way and the most comprehensive way. What a feat. How did you curate them? And you must have spent hours and hours just cogitating which ones to leave in, which ones to leave out.
We've got these incredible doctors and lawyers and senior government officials, politicians, business owners. You know, that's not only in the cities and the urban areas, but this is also in a lot of our remote communities. And then we had to ensure that all the uncles and aunties, you know, men and women, young boys and girls, all had a voice in this process. But also, how do you represent, you know, 30 years of work in a single book, which is impossible? You know, I could probably do another 20 books and still not get the right balance. So it was a case of finding, I suppose, probably quite selfish on my behalf. It was more about how I saw the journey that we've been on and what was significant to me at different events, for instance, like the bridge walk, when we all crossed Sydney Harbour Bridge in that infamous day, the apology. I mean, the apology was probably one of the most moving experiences of my life, not only as a photographer, but as an Aboriginal person. There's photos that were left out of there, particularly for cultural reasons, that I couldn't put in. As much as I wanted to share them,
yeah,
I wasn't able to put them or include them. So the process was very long, it was very difficult, and I still don't believe I got it right. I've left out many, many people that should be in there. But as I say to everybody, don't worry, this will just be the first. You'll all be in the next one.
Yeah, most definitely. And I saw that you've got extraordinary Indigenous leaders telling their stories through this work of yours. You've not only taken photographs, but you also interviewed, and I can see the foreword is by none other than Sydney Opera's Rhoda Roberts.
I was going through all the people that I wanted to do the forward to try and, you know, articulate not so much myself or my work about what this book means to our people. And, you know, had everyone from Tom Calmer to Rhoda to Deb Cheatham to Richard Franklin, all these incredible people that are all my friends. And it was just at the time I thought Rhoda and I are working on a project at the moment up in Sydney for this year's Vivid Festival.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and went, sis, would you do this for me? Would you? She's so articulate in her words, but she's so meaningful in how she and how inclusive she is.
Yeah.
And I thought, would you honour me to do this? And I never forget when I read it, and I thought, I rang her back and said, thanks, sis, you're now comparing me to a dentist. She goes, what do you mean?
She says in her foreword, and this is part of what you were saying as well, it's like the mapping of country, and you created an archive of truth-telling, because photographs don't lie.
They don't. I see myself as a storyteller, a documenter of who we are, not so much as a photographer, because it's quite easy to point a camera, grab an image, and walk away and not know the story behind it. And unfortunately, we have a lot of, in particular, non-Indigenous photographers that are going out into our communities, and they've got a select vision of who we really are.
Yeah.
And they don't know the stories. Whereas I can tell you every story, every photo, I can tell you a beautiful, unique story. I can't tell you people's names necessarily, but I can tell you what happened on the day and the passion and the meaning behind the photo. And that's how I've always worked.
So from behind the lens, you capture that image and it stays in your memory.
Very much everything. It's my daughter was talking about it this morning. She's got a couple of photos of her in the book, and I could actually tell you whether it was a warm day, a cold day. I could the smell, the sounds, the conversations that were going on around that photo. I can actually articulate that really easily. The friendships and the extraordinary people that are out doing incredible things, and not just the celebrities, the community members that are forging ahead for maybe it's only a small community, but what they're doing in that small community means the world. It's incredible.
Yeah. I see there are some photographs of really prominent elders, not only the ones we always see, like the Tom Calmas and other really high-profile leaders that we see every day, but you also went on country and saw the unsung heroes who are also portrayed. Now, how do you take a beautiful photograph of an unsung hero who is not used to being photographed and whose story you want to portray?
Yeah, it's very observant that a lot of people don't see that. They do see the celebrities. They do see these famous faces, but I've always based my career on trust and respect. The community trusts me and respect me that I will look after their images, that they'll be portrayed as who they are, not so much as a spectacular photo. And I will continue to do that and never change, because it's important to me that someone looks at that photo. And I've had kids come up to me, or kids now my age, they're going, hey, uncle, you don't remember me, but you photographed me, you know, up in your car when we were doing Gama Festival. And I was the little one that was sitting on top of Dad's shoulders. Okay. Oh, you're that young fella with the yellow headband, and your dad was there with the sunglasses. He goes, yeah, that's me. He says, He says, we got that photo up on our wall.
Yeah.
And that's the trust and respect that I give. I've never been told not to take a photo. It's always been, sometimes it takes a little while. People, they get to know me, or generally they know somebody that knows me, and that's how I have access to our communities.
And there's one that I saw which really went viral last year during the Gama Festival. Now, were you anticipating that a photograph like that, because we saw the images on TV, but were you anticipating a photograph like that would actually make the rounds of the world?
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting question. I've got quite a few iconic photos that have done that. They've gone around the world. Say, for instance, the apology with Dr. Marika with little Marley Hosh in her lap. That's become extremely iconic lately. I noticed that Reconciliation Australia had it up this morning as well. I started photographing Gama before it came a big festival. It was more a community-based festival, so I was there at the beginning of that. And over the years, I've seen, photographed it for so many years that I don't even look anymore. I actually listen to the photo. When I say listen to a photo is that after you've been on different communities for many years, you feel the rhythm, you hear the sound, and you anticipate the moves because you're a part of it from a distance, of course.
Yeah.
And I never forget a classic question from a mainstream photographer said, we were actually watching you at one stage. We were taking 3,000 to 4,000 photos during the afternoon, and you probably took 200 to 300. I said, yeah, because I was listening to the dance and listening to the singers, and you know that that's the important part. It's the sound of the photo. They're still quite intrigued. They still don't see how that works.
Yeah. And you travel the world and you travel around the country just to take part in these events, and this must take a toll on your family life. How is your family how are they accepting, or how are they dealing with the lifestyle of yours? You are in the army, so traveling is part of your professional life, and as a lecturer, you're meant to travel. But how is your family doing and seeing you away a lot of the time?
It's quite a paradox at the moment, because this is the first time I can remember I've actually been home for so long because of COVID. When I first met my wife 20 years ago, I said to her, my not only my job, but my love and passion is to document not only the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community, but communities all over the world, whether it's South America or Cuba or Vietnam. Any of these, culture is my essence, if that makes sense. And I mentioned to her that I do travel a lot, and I will be on the road a lot. And she saw my passion, and she's been such an incredible backbone to how my career's developed. And the beautiful thing now is that they get to travel with me now on a lot of our projects. Now, for instance, last year we did two major shows. I worked with Aunty June Oscar on the Indigenous Women's Project. You know, we basically had an exhibition in New York and in also Geneva. So we made it a working holiday. So they got the opportunity to come and see the work in these different countries and experience what I do. So it's difficult, but it's something that we all make sacrifices, don't we? Unfortunately, at the moment, I actually had a tragedy over Christmas Day. My father died.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's quite as we know, losing a family member is terribly difficult. But on the same day, I actually also did my back. Since then, I'm basically laying flat on my back, actually going through all the photos and remembering all these beautiful journeys. And two of the things I'd like to mention about photography, it's a beautiful thing to be a photographer, because now I've diversified. I'm also a cinematographer and drone pilot. That's now given me a new perspective of how to capture culture in a different way. I was going through some photographs this morning that didn't make the book. Yeah, it was. And many years ago up in Cairns, up in Northern Territory, up in North Queensland, unfortunately we lost several young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. There was a large funeral. I'm not sure if you remember that. I was asked by NITV to go up and document it, you know, to make a record of the event and the day. And so those images have never been made public, purely out of respect for the family, the community. And I had Melandiri McCarthy yesterday contact me about, you know, some of the memories of things that we've been to, that we've recorded, that have never been shown. So I'm hoping one day that we'll be able to unlock some of these archives of these beautiful stories and journeys that everybody can share with. For those who don't know the protocols of, you know, the visual imaging or the visual representation of Indigenous culture, it varies from community to community. Sometimes people say to me, why can't you show that photograph? Why can't we all share in it? And I simply say to them that the respect that we have for different people is how it should be for every human being on Earth. It's not restricted to just Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture. It's to everybody around the world that using the camera or using a photograph, you've got to respect the person that's in it and their privacy and their cultural beliefs. If we do that, the world would be a much better place. So all you mob out there that are doing beautiful work and beautiful photos, just remember, keep respect right at the forefront of whatever you're doing.
Yeah, Wenk, that's very, very well said. I must mention, I also saw a photograph of one of our colleagues at SBS and NITV, Carla Grant.
Carla is a beautiful, beautiful woman that just without her, her skills as a documenter, a storyteller is just unparalleled to anyone that I know, to be honest. And I remember she did a story on me many years ago. I'd just come back from overseas on a show and I said, you got to laugh at this, sis, because early in my career, there was a show back in the early 90s. We used to do the old video shows where we'd go out and video and interview communities and then show it on television. ICAM, that's it, Indigenous Current Affairs Magazine Show. Yeah, but Carla's in there and there's many others that should be in there, but they're never going to fit. As soon as the book comes out, I'm waiting for a multitude of calls saying, oh, thanks, brother, you've left me out. Good friends.
Yeah. That's the challenge. What do you leave in and who do you leave out? And it must be heartbreaking as well.
I did a little bit of a sneaky one. As I put it in the front of the book, basically to say, listen, you've all been incredible friends, mentors. You've been inspirational. You know, we've got all these in the first book. I'll make sure that the best is left to last. So I left myself a door wide open.
Yes, for a second edition. I mean, for a sequel, so another book. And, you must bring it out because this one is very beautiful and we'll be talking about it for the next few days leading up especially to Australia Day. Telling Aboriginal stories from an Aboriginal person from a different perspective and really shining the light on the culture and the beauty of his people.
Well, and it's perfect timing because this was meant to come out last year. And then after I talked to the publishers and we sat down and had a yarn, I said, geez, would it be interesting to launch a book called Culture is Life on Invasion Day or Australia Day? And they were like, well, that's an interesting concept. What are your thoughts? And I thought, well, we all have our own opinions on what to call the day, whether we celebrate, whether we don't. To me, it's an individual thing. I respect everybody the way that they want to do it. Yeah. I see this book as a really, it's a good catalyst for a lot of people who don't understand Indigenous culture in this country to share and have a look and experience the incredible people that are out there doing incredible work. And I'm hoping that gives people a unique insight into who we really are compared to sometimes how we're portrayed in not only the media, but in mainstream society.
Yeah, no, this really shines a light on the culture, the people, and a really beautiful story, very well told. Looking forward to the second part two, part three, part four, part five. Because with a million photographs, there's a room for many, many, many more editions.
Oh, there is, brother. And this year, it's going to be extraordinary because we're working on some absolutely major projects, which I'll share them with you soon. As soon as we get the tick, I'll give you a call and we'll have another yarn.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.